This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the international LGBTI news and current affairs show. Every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's your weekly fix of international LGBTI news and current affairs. By your community, for your community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to a new team on the grid, the team from GMTV. Thanks, Elizabeth. On the Worldwide Wave panel tonight, Ian is here.
Hello there.
Good evening, Alex.
Salam atzori.
Hello, Stefan.
Good evening.
And my name's Matt.
Now, we know that sex sells, don't we? It's a well-documented truth, and we know it in the media. The media uses it all the time. But what if you're trying to stop people having sex? Well, that's certainly got to rise out of people too. And so tonight, we're looking at the contentious, the salacious, the outrageous proposed law in Indonesia, which would criminalise any sex outside of marriage, gay or straight.
This proposed law comes out of the back of rising homophobia over the past few years in Indonesia. And there is one man who has seen it all before. Dede Otomo is a long-time Indonesian LGBT advocate and founder of Kaya Nusantara. I knew that would be a mouthful, which has been fighting for LGBTI rights in Indonesia for 30 years. Is he concerned about this proposed new law and its implications for LGBTI people from Indonesia and abroad?
It's been called the bonking ban, proposed legislation that will prohibit any sex outside of marriage in Indonesia. And it has sensationally hit the front pages of Australian newspapers, hyping the potential implications for Aussies holidaying in Bali. It's also generated calls for travel boycotts or halting international aid. Dede Otomo has been fighting for LGBTI rights in Indonesia since 1980s. We asked Dede for his thoughts on this latest proposal.
Well, I mean, the fact is the bill has been postponed.
Right.
And kind of carried over to the next parliament, which will be inaugurated on the 1st of October. And then I think what's also important is that the reaction from, you know, people like Australians, but also what the embassies have been engaging with the government in Jakarta, actually counts. I mean, we know from trusted sources like Amnesty or people who are close to the palace or even in the palace themselves that pressure helps. And so I guess for ordinary people, if you pressure like the Australian government to bring it up and, you know, make it important, then it helps. So actually the postponement could be because of that.
So that's from like Australian government's diplomacy, but
right,
people
right.
want to know what they can do. And so people say, well, I've heard from LGBT people saying, well, I'm not sure that Bali's a safe place to go anymore. And I've heard from other people that say, well, we should pull back on the amount of aid that we're giving
right,
to Indonesia.
Right.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, the second one is kind of easier to answer. I mean, generally speaking, you know, yes, of course, the aid goes to the government, but it also goes to the most needy people. International organizations, friendly embassies have been creative in you know, circumventing certain bans.
So that money does good, you believe?
I think so. Yeah. So I mean, if you stop it, then you know people like poor trans women in rural areas who would not get, you know, the income generating programs or, you know, microcredit and things like that. So.
And cancelling our holidays to Bali?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be blasé about it, but the fact is, right now Bali is you know, I mean, gets all kinds of tourists from Russia, from China, from India, and they're probably not too concerned about what you call, what is it, the bonking ban. But also, Bali has its own way of doing things. You know, I mean, it's so there may be a national law. It might not be implemented. And, you know, you won't see police going from hotel to hotel looking for heterosexual couples who are not married. And, you know, I mean, that might happen in, like, West Sumatra or Aceh, but not in Bali.
But surely having this law, just having it means that it can be used against people,
yes,
too. So particularly LGBTI people, we've seen it in other countries.
Well, technically, the old sodomy law is not there. It's circumstantial. So the current text has something about sex outside of marriage. Now, and there are some people say, well, you know, because gay people, lesbians, you know, cannot marry, then automatically that will be out of the question. I mean, like, it will be covered by that. But some, I think, I guess the hope is that, I mean, there is, as we are speaking, there's like a lot of pressure in the streets from young people, you know, students, workers, whatnot. And it's amazing. I mean, it's just suddenly there's this groundswell of people protesting. And when the Indonesian president announced that he would ask Parliament to postpone, he did also mention about, you know, revising the articles.
What's your interpretation? You mentioned this, you know, you've got young people coming into your organization. Mm-hmm. There were thousands of people mm-hmm. on the streets of Jakarta yesterday, and, was it? And in other,
and
10 other
places,
cities?
Yes, still today, right now.
What's going on?
Well, people are getting tired of all these, because so suddenly, you know, Parliament, as it's going out, has been trying to pass all these laws, and it's not only the new criminal code which has those articles, but it also has, you know, bills about minerals and coal, about other things. I mean, there's about 10 or so, and the arrogant attitude of Parliament actually is what angers people.
But have we seen something like these protests before?
This focused on laws, this is the first time. Before it was, you know, I mean, well, I mean, in 98, it was actually, you know, getting rid of the president. This time, you know, I mean, there's a few groups that said, oh, yeah, well, let's get rid of the president. But that's, you know, I mean, we are now a democracy. So you want to get rid of him, you have to wait until the next election.
That's Teddy Otomo, and from Indonesia on Joy 94.9.
Protests in the streets.
There are, and there were more protests last night. This has really energized a student movement, which we haven't seen in a way since the democracy protests in, I think it was 98, 99.
And it's not just, we should point out, the protests aren't just about LGBT rights. This is
absolutely not, no.
The law's much broader. Yeah. It's about sex outside of marriage, regardless of sexuality. You've got insulting the president. There's an issue. There's abortion in there. They've kind of lumped every right-wing conservative wish list into one bill, I think.
Yes, and it seems to be a lot of the protests, from what I've seen in the news, is very much driven by hands off our private lives, which is what are these young people saying. This is an absolute incursion of legal apparatus into the homes of average Indonesians, and it's just like they've had enough. So I think it's fantastic that the young generation are out on the streets.
So yeah. There's protests on the streets there. Should we be protesting? So there was a discussion there about to boycott or not to boycott.
Well, Deddy gave a talk at University of Melbourne last week, and I spoke to a couple of people there who were willing to go on camera. And the reason I spoke to them about what they thought about this idea of boycott is because we had a post on our social media post. Everyone looks at our Facebook post. I know they do. And I think there were like 15 shares, and there were several thousand views of that post about bonking bans.
What's the comment?
And I thought, like, this is really engaging people. So I spoke to two people who had experience of Indonesian politics, one person from Bali, and I asked them what they thought.
I think the more important thing is whether you go or not, I don't think anybody will really notice. The more important thing is to be supporting our brothers and sisters in Indonesia in whatever way they consider to be appropriate. So again, not taking action just off your own bat, but asking our brothers and sisters in Indonesia what support will help them and what the appropriate way to do it is.
And you're from Bali?
I'm from Bali. Cancelling our trips to go to Bali is an unnecessary overreaction, because there will be no enforcement yet happening, and Bali is just going to be Bali, so it's going to be, like, okay. Of course, like, this motion to ban, to cancel their trips, and then it creates kind of like an economical havoc to Bali tourism, and Bali tourism is having huge influence in Indonesian economy. So with that, actually, a lot of Balinese and tourism industries got so scared, and it will actually impact the Indonesian economy. So just not saying to cancel the plan, but actually express and be in the same voice with other Indonesians that now on the street saying that actually this law is ridiculous, like supposed to not be passed. So that's how actually Australians can support Indonesia instead of just canceling their plan right away.
Some lots of food for thought there. So what do you think? Send us a message. Coming up, we find out the story of how Dede Otomo became an LGBTI champion. You're on World Wide Wave.
Hello, Australia. This is Noam Apple and Top from Apple Models in Thailand. The world first transgender model division on Joy 94.9.
I don't think I've ever heard that artist on Joy before. Who is that?
I think that's that might have been Madonna.
Oh, fantastic.
Quite a cheeky choice, I've got to say, tonight.
Well, yes.
Yeah, you're throwing it out there. I like that.
We're talking Indonesia and Bali, so holiday.
It is a very famous Australian holiday destination, isn't it?
It is. No, I mean, being a bit cheeky, a bit facetious with that song choice. I'm not objecting.
Hey, is this just like a hot button issue, though? Because the messages are coming in on Facebook, and you can send us your messages 0427 joy949 or on air at joy.org.au. Lindy says, just think of all the extra money they'll be making for the bribes. Putting it out there. Hoffler, Bogans love Bali. I'm proud to say I've never travelled to Indonesia after the Bali 9 incident. Sadly, Westerners have become selfish and don't care if policies it affects minority groups. Do you think that's right?
I've talked about this before, and I just think, has that same person made sure they've never been to any country that doesn't have any restrictive laws on LGBTI rights, women's rights, abortions, minority rights? I'm sure there's a few countries on their travel list. So I'm being confrontational there, but I do question this trigger-happy response Australians often have about Indonesia. I think it's sometimes, anyway, that's the debate we're having.
I don't think you're being confrontational, Alex.
Why not? I think it's confront Alex on 0427 joy949.
Yes, do that. But I think this is social media, and I think this is how we respond, and we want an instant response and to say, and to be righteous and to be right immediately and to say how good we are and how bad other people are. So we have been talking to Dede Otoma, who is from Indonesia. And Indonesia, of course, is one of our closest neighbours. It's only been a democracy, though, since 1998. We asked Dede what it was like growing up as a gay man under the dictatorship.
Actually, ironically, personally, those days it was easier. I mean, no police would go into your house or your neighborhood and actually search your house just, because you're gay. These days, it could happen.
But back then, what was your experience like growing up? Did you come out?
I did, actually. I went to a shrink, to a psychologist, but I guess I got a good psychologist who actually told me to read. He actually gave me books to read in English. I mean, I was an English major, so that was easy. And as I read more, that's kind of spilled over to the gay liberation literature, which was already becoming available in a very limited amount in international bookshops. Uh-huh. So that actually opened my eyes that there's nothing wrong with me. And so I actually came out sort of like most people in the West those days.
Whenabouts are we talking?
1974 was the first time I told my parents and sort of people close to me. In 1979, after 5 years of reading and, convincing myself that there's nothing wrong with me, I just came out to everyone.
And this is a dictatorship, a strict dictatorship in Indonesia at the time. What was life like for the rest of the rainbow at that time?
If you're trans, even those days, you would be harassed by other people, in your neighborhood, in your town. Sometimes you have brushes with the law for vagrancy and things like that. But if you're gay and you could actually, just vouch for yourself, I have to qualify. If you're a teacher, then maybe you'll be fired or asked to leave. I know some teachers who actually, one particular case, they actually got as far as being in the local parliament, but then the desire to transition was too much.
This was a trans teacher.
Yes, and also they got into local parliament. They're still around in Yogyakarta right now. But it depends where you are. But if you look male, even if people know, often they won't fire you or anything. Yeah.
So you went to the States for a time, did some postdoc work, and then you came back before the overthrow of Suharto and democracy, and then you stood for parliament.
Yeah, I mean, it was the thing to do, I guess. It's actually quite simple. I was encouraging my students to think for themselves, to be critical, you know, the way teachers do. I mean, you know, even without going to the West, I mean, I had teachers who were like that. And so when my students start going into political parties and, you know, setting up democratic institutions, I kind of just, you know, sit quietly. And, you know, so and they did come to me, you know, come on, run for parliament and we'll see.
And what was your platform?
Freedom of expression, freedom of, you know, identity and things like that. So
did that make you a radical?
Before 98, I would have, actually. I mean later, after, it's interesting, after 98, some of my former students said, you know, you were careless, you know. The way you taught, you know, you were telling us the truth, and it's like, that was dangerous. We were scared.
You weren't scared at that time, though?
There are moments, but, you know, it's like, I don't know what it is. It's pride in a way. I don't want to just give in to the government and just, you know, buy theirs. I mean, I would find ways.
It is interesting, though, because you sort of said when you were coming out, you could look after yourself, but you took it a different way. You set up an organization to advocate for others.
Right.
What switched something for you to say, I've got to do something big?
It's kind of the teacher in me. So I realized that society is wrong about homosexuality and, you know, and non-binary gender, I guess now you call it. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have to teach society. I remember a few years after I was hired by the university, one of the vice chancellor called me in and said, you know, what are you doing? It's like, we are scientists. If there's something wrong in society, we have to say that.
And you still teach this day?
I still do.
What do you teach?
Sexuality and gender. Two courses at the postgraduate level at the university in Surabaya called Erlangga.
So democracy comes in in the late 90s, and I'm assuming that for LGBT people, things get a bit easier.
In some ways, yes. I mean, people organize openly. Now, in some places, you cannot, well, in most places, actually, you cannot organize a public event. You have to do it like kind of underground, but you can still do things. I mean, but I think at the personal level, it became easier. I mean, you know, there is more information. Like when I was coming out, I had to rely on those books at the international bookshop. Now, you go online, even in Indonesian, you know, you don't have to actually be able to read English. There's plenty of material, including, like, you know, the connection with faith, you know, both Islam and Christianity, and there are other faiths as well. I mean, I mentioned faith because Indonesians generally are, like, you know, kind of almost obsessed with religion.
That's Dede Otomo, Indonesian LGBT advocate, speaking with us here on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. It kind of almost blew me away a bit when he was saying things were a bit easier under the dictatorship, that, you know, the police just weren't as interested in, they weren't going to come into your house if you're LGBT, whereas now that's a real threat. I thought the bringing of democracy might give more rights and freedoms.
This is to do with the transformation of Indonesia over the last 20, 30 years, with a huge influx of cash from the Middle East, as we've discussed before, I think, and that has gone into these religious leaders who are now pushing their agenda onto the government. So it's no surprise. You talk to Indonesians who grew up in the 60s and 70s, no headscarves. All this stuff's come largely from the Middle East. Religious push from the Middle East. So it doesn't surprise me he says that, actually, although it is still nonetheless a bit shocking to hear. But I've heard Filipinos say the same thing about life under Marcos. So, you know,
I think one of the things, I heard Dede's talk last week, and one of the things that comes out strongly from him is this whole idea of discretion, this idea that whether it was through the dictatorship or through the democratic times, that you could have, for example, an LGBT organization, but you can't name that organization as an LGBT organization. I think we heard that a few months ago when we spoke to someone about the Sustainable Development Goals, and they were from Indonesia. So you could live as a gay man or as a trans person or as someone else from the rainbow, but you need to be discreet about that. And these things will be tolerated in particular circumstances. And I think that's what he was saying partly, that things have changed, but discretion is still extremely important.
But still it takes somebody to stick their head out. I mean, he put his hand up to be a politician. He's being a teacher of a gender diversity course. He's, you know, he's been a trailblazer. I actually like the term radical for him, even though he seems quite understated and, you know.
Well, he's called the godfather, do you know? They describe him as the god. They call him the godfather of LGBT politics and of equality in Indonesia.
I, that's one of the things I do love about doing this show, when we do get the chance to speak to activists from around the world and sort of ask them how they got into it, what their inspiration is, what their, you know, get into the real personal side, because it's amazing that the power of one to influence many.
Mm.
We're talking all things Indonesia tonight on Worldwide Wave.
Hi, this is Dr. Joseph Goh from Monash University, Malaysia, on the Worldwide Wave.
Show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. It's Worldwide Wave. Tonight, we've stopped off in Indonesia. A few messages coming in on message in on 0427 Joy 949. Thank you, Jamie, reminding us that we thought the holiday song by Madonna was to celebrate Worldwide Wave's 400th show, which is true. You forgot to mention that at the top of the show. 400 shows. We're actually planning a really big celebration because we've been on air now for about seven and three quarter years. So when we hit 8 years, we're going to have a big celebration. But that's, oh, I don't know.
It's pretty special. And you've been here a lot of that time, Matt, haven't you?
I have. I feel that old, but
no, I'm saying that's wonderful. And
I think it's always been a team show. We've always had a team of people. And, you know, the world's a big place to cover. And Joy, I think, does an exceptional job covering the LGBT issues around the globe. Other messages coming in on Indonesia tonight. Melissa says, I don't think they realise the impact this will have on their tourism if it becomes law, especially in Bali, as we sort of talked about at the top of the show. And Rosemary, oh my God, I cannot believe this. Why are they going backwards rather than moving forwards? It's really sad and scary, actually.
Now, if it wasn't made clear in the interview with Dede, so the proposed penal court law has been put on hold for the moment, but actually only until today. So it's going to get picked up again from the 1st of October and we'll see what happens. But for the moment, it's been put to one side, which is good news.
So some media outlets have described the rise of conservative and anti-gay laws in Indonesia as the Aceh laws, reflecting the part of Indonesia where being gay is punished by public flogging. We asked Dede what he thought of this provocative statement.
It's true. It's true. I mean,
and so that's what's brought the people out on the streets. Or the young, is it young people who've come out on the
streets? It's young people. Certainly the criminal code. But see, the thing in the criminal code is also there is a clause where there's an article about insulting the president, which was struck down by the Constitutional Court in 2006. It's brought back in. So in a way, it's like Thailand with the Lese Majeste law.
Where do you see this going? I think we spoke to you a couple of years ago. We've been speaking about Indonesian issues all the time. Every few months this comes up on this particular show on Worldwide Wave. When we spoke to you a couple of years ago, I think you were... I'm not saying you were laid back, but you were fairly... how would you describe it, Matt?
Not concerned that there was an uptick in anti-LGBT violence, or what we were seeing. You weren't overly concerned about it. Do you think now things are better or worse over the last two or three
years? Well, in terms of persecution, it's become worse. It all started in 2016. What happened is that, you know, in addition to other, I guess you can call them bogeymen, you know, things to scare the population so that it would actually just then get help from the government and or the army or the police. LGBT, the acronym LGBT, is now... is there together with people with HIV, Jews, communists, atheists, in some places Chinese and maybe Christians. It's what happens is that the intolerance between groups has actually grown in the past 3-4 years.
And the protest at the moment, you talked about the younger activists coming through. How do you think that might play out? Are we going to see a hardline response from government, or maybe actually see some change?
I think the government is being careful, because if the, you know, if all you need is actually for some students to be killed, And this is where I think the police, the army, are being very careful, because that's what happened in 1998. So when people became angrier, so we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the criminal code has been postponed, but I mean the government is sticking to the version of the Corruption Eradication Commission revised law that makes it weaker. So that, I don't know. I mean, if let's say tomorrow or the day after, the president said, I'm not going to sign that bill into law. You see, the final decision is on the president.
Do you have confidence? You said there's a new legislature coming in. Do you have any confidence that there will be any any hope for positive change for the LGBT community in that legislature?
Looking at the candidates that, you know, I mean, from, you know, of course, this is a very a sweeping statement. They're probably even more conservative than the current parliament. So,
is there anything that we can do? Obviously, what we take pride in doing with Joy is actually getting people who are affected to tell their stories and listening to their stories and communicating their stories. Mm-hmm. But what else can we do, and what else can our listeners do?
These days, petitions work. I mean, you know, some people kind of poo-poo petitions, like the one that actually is believed to make the president announce the postponement was, you know, one petition within a week got a million signatures before young people came, you know, get to the streets.
Is there enough drive within Indonesia of LGBT Indonesians to want change?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you talk to younger people, they're upset. Because they remember, some of these people actually were born after democratization. They never knew a dictatorship. So they suddenly there's, what? We were promised something else when, you know, when we were young. So they think differently. And yeah.
This sounds a little bit to me like what's happening in Hong Kong at the present
true.
Time and a younger generation.
It's very interesting. The people in the streets, the organizers, they learn from the Hong Kong people how to actually face tear gas.
So did a 20 years' time, you're kicking back, thinking about, you know, what's happened in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at? What do you hope that you will be seeing as a place for LGBTI people in Indonesia?
It's there. It's there. I mean, for better or for worse, I mean, it might not be perfect, but it's there. So whether 20 years ago, we were not even sure. We were not even mentioned. We were not even invited. Now, actually, I got a text message from my former students, you know, sir, we saw your organization's logo together with 20 other organizations for the action in Surabaya tomorrow. Are you going to be there? Well, unfortunately, I'm in Melbourne, so, but there are other people from my organization will be there. And so, and you know, you blend in, you know, of course you bring your rainbow flag or your trans flag or whatever, but there are other flags as well, and you know, yeah.
And that's a very different story from what we've been hearing elsewhere. So thank you so much for coming in and telling that to us and giving your personal insights. Very much appreciated.
And thank you for the work that you do.
Well, thank you.
That's Dede Otomo from Gaya Nusantara, who dropped in to see us in a recent visit to Melbourne. Interesting parallels with Hong Kong and the, you know, are students the change makers here? Are they the drive? Across the centuries, we've seen this. French Revolution, yeah. You know, students.
And things getting a conflagration of these issues, because, you know, from the outside, a lot of people think Hong Kong is just about anti-Chinese, you know, against Chinese encroachment, Beijing. It's actually very much about local issues, about their local government, about corruption, about the democratic structure of the Hong Kong community. And I think in Indonesia, what we're seeing is a similar scenario where there's anger about a whole range of things, and this has just been a spearhead, in my opinion.
And you've also seen Taiwan now, student groups starting to arc up in Taiwan as well. So there's this, I guess, the information age, the sharing age, much easier to find out what's going on, draw inspiration, learn lessons, share information between countries.
So one of the things I think has been is, and Daddy was sort of aspiring to that, is talking about how people deal with protests and how people are organising protests, and the police in different places have really not got their heads around how to manage some of these protests and these fluid processes.
Yeah, they change very fast.
That don't have necessarily an obvious leadership, and that is something is a theme at the moment. You know, this is new technology coming across, and people are communicating through social media for the good, I suppose, in some ways, and for advocacy, rather than just using social media just to knock spots off each other.
Do you think the legislature has completely misjudged this? They've put in so many things offending so many people, not just minority groups, but, you know, there's so many things in this law from, as we said, there was the insults to the president, there's something about abortion, there's something in there about obscene acts, there's you can be reported for living together, unmarried couples, all these things in one. Do you think they've just, a petition of a million people almost instantly, do you think they've just misjudged the mood of the nation?
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly something with Widodo being somewhat beholden to the religious right who helped him in the recent elections. So whether he felt, you know, the obligation to push this through, to allow them to push this through, but yeah, it does seem very strange from this man who, before he was elected the first time, everyone thought he would be the shining light of progressive new Indonesia. But it goes to show the power of the religious right in Indonesia in recent years.
I think some of the analysis that I've seen has been that he's very much boxed in.
Yeah.
We heard that with Malcolm Turnbull, didn't we? So, that he was boxed in, that he couldn't do anything. Well, why are you there then, mate?
So
we'll keep an eye on the issues in Indonesia as they unfold and keep you informed right here on Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Eric from Greenland on Joy
jujur aja. Siapa? Kamu ngapain aja sampai gak ingat kelak. Ditelepon gak diangkat, SMS gak dibalas, BBM gak dibaca, aku jadi curiga. Tolong jawab jujur, jangan kau jadi ngawur. Semalam kamu tidur atau kamu lagi ngelindur? Semalam bobo di mana? Bobo sama siapa? Ngapain aja?
Jujur aja, kalau kau lagi berdusta.
And that was Gebi Vesta with Bobo de Maná. Now, there's a story with this. She is a recently out transgender woman in Indonesia who's had quite a life producing pop music and various other things, a bit of a YouTube sensation.
And now a Joy 94.9 sensation.
Yes, and she came out on YouTube after years of denying her waria status, as they call it, has come out as a trans woman.
A huge thank you to our guest tonight, Dede Otomo from Gaya Nusantara in Indonesia. You can search them on your favourite search engine.
And terima kasih to all our messages this week. Facebook, Charles, Dwayne, Claire, Lindy, Joe and a heap more have joined us and interacted with us on Facebook last week. That's W3Joy on Facebook and, of course, SMSs and emails.
Behind the scenes, we want to thank our podcaster, Alex.
You're welcome.
And our social media master, Dean. And the extended podcast from Dede's interview tonight, which where he talks a bit more about Bali and about Archer, has just gone live online, so pick that up.
Stick around. Bad Gays with Helen and Alex is coming up next. Stick with us. You're on Joy 94.9. We'll be back same bat time next week.
With all of this, you know you're playing with fire. Yeah, I'll make you so hot, baby. You gon' make me all one desire. Yeah, little Miss J coming at you. No shame in my game. But when I get through, you're sure enough gonna remember my name. So holler if you see me coming. The brand new queen of the hill. Oh, yeah, yeah. I let him just see me coming. I'm the brand new queen of the hill.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.